This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
I don't know if you got to see the end of the first half, and I'll welcome on Daryl Ryder, who is on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline, our Browns beat reporter for 92.3 The Fan and 92.3TheFan.com, where I don't know if you guys saw the end of the first half where Freddie was hot as hell because a penalty basically took them out of good field goal range and turned into a 53-yarder, I think it was, for Greg Joseph. And then he came off the field, and John Dawson got a hold of him and brought up how he was upset with the penalty, and he was also upset where he goes, yeah, Garrett Gilbert looked good. He goes, yeah, it would have looked a lot better if our wide receivers could have been able to catch a pass. I'm loving Freddie Kitchens, man. I'd hate to say we're going to have to go to regular season games. We're actually going to have to be critics for this guy. What did you think yesterday, or what did you think during that Saturday game, Daryl, of the penalties, of some of the other things in a second preseason game that I don't know to the fans really mattered much because Baker wasn't playing?
Yeah, it didn't. And, you know, I've said it and I stand by it. This preseason's not about the starters. We know who they are. This is about figuring out the rest of the depth chart and just, you know, how good the talent is behind the starters. And he certainly used that game at Indianapolis to try and sort that out. Freddie's candid. I mean, he's pretty open and honest, and he's a straight shooter. Sometimes it might end up being to his peril, but if you ask him a question, and you mentioned that interview with John Doss at the end of the first half, he was not a happy camper. He was still not a happy camper yesterday when we spoke to him on the conference call either. So there are some things here as they go into this third preseason game, this third week of the preseason with Tampa, the last 3 days of training camp. They still got a couple of things they need to sort out.
Obviously, we've been talking kickers. We'll continue to talk kickers. And it's been one of those things that even though most fans can't probably recognize these kickers in real life without their uniforms, they have such an impact on these games where you could take an 11-5 team and all of a sudden they could become an 8-8 team.
Daryl, I'm willing to say that they are 0-1 to start the season because of their kicking game.
I would cut Austin Seibert today. I'd stop wasting my time.
Whoa! Really, Daryl?
Yes. The kid can't make a pressure kick to save his life, okay? I would get someone else in here to compete with Greg Joseph ASAP. Now, part of the issue might be is maybe someone's not out there right now. I don't feel comfortable with Greg Joseph either. Greg Joseph might be the kicker on August 31st. He better not be the kicker on September 1 with the way he's kicking too. Those field goals, I know it's preseason. I know it's practice. And you try not to make too much. But this is something that I saw going into camp as a problem. And it is something as we've gone through camp and the first couple of preseason games, it's a major problem. They do not have a kicker. They don't have a playoff caliber kicker. And you can't afford to miss the playoffs. You can't afford to lose football games because you can't make a field goal. Freddie said it yesterday. Need someone that can put the ball through the sticks. Bottom line. 52, 53-yard field goals in the NFL should be makeable. They're not even close on those kicks. And this is a team that you want to be able to take advantage of those opportunities. If you get the ball to the opponent's 30-yard line, you should come away with 3 points at minimum. Now, granted, they do have the offensive weapons this year where they should be able to score touchdowns aplenty. But 3 points is a pretty big deal, and they can't afford to be missing out on those 48 to 53-yard field goals. And I have zero confidence that Austin Seibert and Greg Joseph can make those kicks at the consistent level that's going to be required this year.
Daryl Ryder joining us on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline. Well, can we just go for two like the Steelers have done in the past?
They might have to at this point. I'm being serious. I'm not being facetious or sarcastic at all. I don't think that that's the worst idea in the world at this point, because the PATs aren't guaranteed. So they've got a major problem with kicker, and I'm not trying to make a mountain out of a molehill.
No, I think you're right. I think a lot of people would agree, Daryl.
I know what I see in practice on a daily basis, and I'm not impressed. It's nothing personal. Just I'm not impressed with these guys. And again, this football team is a playoff caliber football team. They have an opportunity here to do something that hadn't been done in three decades. That's win a division. That's, win a game in January, or two, or maybe three, or maybe four. But the kicking game just is not up to par with where it needs to be for a team as talented as this.
Daryl Ryder, join us on the hotline. So we know that Drew Stanton did not play because he got work in that scrimmage, so he was held out of the game. And he's still the backup quarterback, yet we've gotten a chance to see Garrett Gilbert, and I think he's done some really nice things. He's made some really nice throws. Is there any chance he can beat out Drew Stanton for that backup spot?
I don't think he beats out Drew Stanton for the backup spot, but I do think that there is a good chance that they keep three quarterbacks. Freddie Kitchens said a week or so ago when he was asked about the depth chart at quarterback, Anthony, he mentioned his experience in Arizona and how they had to, in consecutive weeks, bring in a third and fourth quarterback who ended up starting that the following week, and that is not a situation that he wants to find himself in again. We know all too well here in Cleveland some of the bizarre stuff over the years that has happened at that position. So I think that Garrett Gilbert has proven that he can be a competent player at this level. I don't think he's a starting caliber player, but he's proven that he is competent and worthy of consideration of being a third quarterback on this depth chart.
Are you concerned about Austin Corbett?
Yep. When you're getting your butt kicked by guys that are going to be bagging groceries in a couple weeks, that's not a positive sign. And I understand they've been shuffling him around since he's been drafted. But you know what? That comes with the territory at this level. Now, Freddie Kitchens said yesterday, because this is one area where he wasn't candid, he said yesterday that he's still in competition for the right guard spot. Well, Austin Corbett hadn't seen right guard since the Clinton administration at this point. It's been since the orange and brown scrimmage before that. That's going on 3 weeks now. Proof is in the snaps, and he's getting all his snaps with the twos and the threes, either at backup center or at one of the backup guard jobs. You're not going to bat 1,000 picking players. John Dorsey's done a phenomenal job. You look at his first and second round picks, I'd say he's 5 of 6. And that's one hell of a batting average as a GM. So I'm not going to...
Well, Daryl, let me ask you this. Do you think that they might be moving him around too much? I mean, he was brought in and they were going, oh, left tackle. Oh,
right.
Guard. Center. Okay, where is it? Are they maybe doing too much with him too soon?
Well, part of the problem is when they do move him around, he's not performing, so they're trying something else. Last year, they tried left tackle. It didn't work. So, okay, well, it's not working at left tackle. Let's move you to guard. See if you can do something there. This year, he's not performing. Okay, you're not performing at guard. Let's slide you over to center. See if that can be where your niche is. I understand where you're coming from, Ken, and it's a real argument, and it's a very valid point. And I'm not discounting it, not by any stretch of the imagination, but at the same time, the onus has to fall on the player to perform at some point.
Which of Kareem Hunt's two carries were your favorite, Daryl? I expected him to get a lot more work than two carries. Any reason that was the case?
Yeah, well, Freddie Kitchens said they were going to get him between 10 and 15 plays, and he got 11 snaps. Carried twice, didn't get a target out of the backfield. Not worried about it. Freddie noted yesterday, Anthony, they understand coming back from the groin injury, they didn't want to beat, and they also know he's not going to be available for the first 8 weeks, but they don't want to beat him up in the preseason to where he re-injures himself or injures himself again, and then all of a sudden he goes into that suspension with an injury and spends the 8 weeks, rehabbing or something like that. So that's why they didn't overextend him. I would expect that the snap count goes up somewhat significantly for this third preseason game, though.
Daryl Ryder, join us on the hotline. Do we have any indication whatsoever about what the Browns might do with the dress rehearsal? I know Freddie doesn't like answering these questions, and right. he made us wait, obviously, until basically 20 minutes before kickoff to figure out the status of some of these players in week two or preseason game number two. What do you think they might do this time around?
That is a good question. Have no idea. Conventional wisdom, and the tradition is guys play at least the first half, maybe come out for that first series in the third quarter so they get used to the whole halftime shtick and coming out and at least playing a series there in the second half. But Freddie's not a conventional coach, so if I were in his shoes, I would play the starters for at least a half and be done with it. Get everybody in bubble wrap and get ready for September 8th.
I'm just kind of miffed, Daryl. Not that, look, this is nothing new, and it's good that the Browns actually have talent now that we're worried about whether they play in the preseason. In the past, I didn't care. Mm-hmm. Put them out there every single game. But if the situation going forward is we're going to get more out of what we do in our combined practices days mm-hmm. before the preseason game, why are we televising the preseason game and not the combined practice?
Money and 70,000 fans.
Well, now wait a second. Well, then just have the practice. Just do what they do for spring game. Ohio State at spring game gets 90,000 fans anyway for a scrimmage, and Urban Meyer wasn't even doing an actual game anymore. He totally tore it down from that. So if all those fans are going to go out there and watch a scrimmage, then just do the scrimmage instead. Why are we wasting time with the preseason game?
Yeah, I mean, the Browns sold 37,000 tickets for their orange and brown scrimmage, or as I call it, a practice, because that's actually what it was. I agree with you. I don't like the preseason format. This is going to be a very interesting thing as they try and hammer out this new collective bargaining agreement, what they do with the schedule, because I think going to 18 games is not only stupid, I think it's dangerous, because you have teams that can barely get through a 16 game schedule. But at the same time, players want more money, owners want more revenue, and that's what the preseason is about, is maintaining that revenue stream. I quite honestly feel that the joint practices, I actually agree with how Freddie Kitchens handled the Colts situation. I would not have played Baker Mayfield on Saturday, not after he got the work in against the Colts. Those controlled practices, I think, did the Browns a tremendous amount of good. And you get more out of that than you do the preseason game. So I agree with you, Anthony. I think that there is a problem with the preseason, especially from a fan standpoint, the money that they spend to attend if regular players aren't going to play in those games. Also, at the same time, I think that they ought to find a way to make a week's worth of joint practices kind of part of the preseason and try and make that some sort of a revenue stream to make up for the loss of one of those games. But I liked how Freddie handled this past week.
Well, all these ideas are practical, but again, you got to put revenue back into the stream for the yep. owners, because they're not going to sign off on this. And you guys mentioned 37,000 tickets, and that's great, but that's at $5 a head, not yep. at what you're going to pay for a season ticket, where that's already included in the bottom line of what you're doing with the preseason there, Daryl.
Yeah, absolutely, and so, that's the rub with this whole situation, Ken, is, the owners want to maintain that revenue or increase that revenue, and that's why they're pitching, hey, let's drop the two preseason games, let's add and extend the regular season to 18, and again, I feel extending the regular season format beyond 16 games is just, it's dangerous. We've seen it firsthand, the struggles of getting through a 16-game season. And the NFL's almost a war of attrition when it comes to getting to January football. It's usually who's the hottest, the healthiest, or the New England Patriots. That usually determines who's going to win the Super Bowl. So I don't know what the answer there is, Ken, but I think that there's something there that they should explore, because it's not fair to the fans, it's not fair to the players, but again, at the same time, it all sounds good, but there's money that still needs to be made for the owners, and again, the players want a larger slice of that pie too.
All right, Daryl, we thank you for the hot time. All the best.
You got it, guys. Talk to you soon.
The great Daryl Ryder on the North Homestead Chrysler Jeep Dodge Ram Hotline.
You make a great point. They have to come up with that money.
Right, I do.
Either way, that money, they have to find it from somewhere.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.